Good morning. Welcome to All Villages Online. We're so glad you joined us this week. It's a special week. It's Father's Day. And so we're just thrilled to have you all here. Hope it's a special, special day for those dads and families. But just know this, that we have the best father ever in our Heavenly Father. Be encouraged that he's with us right now, and he wants to encourage our hearts, our lives, to know him better so that we can experience his love and be the people he's called us to be. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we could come and enjoy this time, whether it be with a cup of coffee or just sitting with you with in front of the screen with our Bible. But Lord, we ask that you would encourage us and fill us up with your Spirit afresh. Help us to breathe you in and breathe you out, that we may be your people. We give you thanks and praise, and we lift up Steve as he is going to share the message here shortly, that you would just anoint him and fill him so that we can be open and receptive, and that you would again just transform our hearts and lives. We pray this in your beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen.
Good morning. As Dustin had shared with you, due to some scheduling issues that we had, we had to condense a lot of material into a small time. So the opportunity came for me to do a message for you, and I jumped at that. I'm excited about it, and I think I have something good for you today. So let's kind of jump into it. Dustin, for the last several months, hard to believe it's been several months, but yeah, the last several months, has put together some really good messages for you. And he's been running a thread through several of them, especially the last few, and I want to kind of dive into that a little bit today. We've been talking a lot about flourishing disciples. And one of the goals of ECO is to develop flourishing churches through flourishing disciples. So we're trying to, as a church, start building up people and make them into flourishing disciples. Now, it's interesting. Through some conversations that I've had and some others have had, it actually has become evident that not everybody quite understands what it is to be a disciple. Pastor Justin and I have shared this in a couple of different messages in the past, but I think I got a way today to maybe describe it that might help you a little bit. If you can just imagine for a second, when Christ went to talk to his very first soon-to-be disciples, and he said, "Drop your nets and follow me." From that point, those men were disciples. Not because they dropped their nets, not because they left the fishing, not because they left their village, but because at that point, they decided to listen and learn and follow Christ. Similarly, just when you first came to a church, or however you first came to God, maybe it was through an online church or through a book or a movie, the first time that you made the decision to, you know what, I'm going to listen and learn and follow this Christ, you became a disciple. Now, obviously, at that point, Jesus' disciples were not flourishing disciples. He did not expect them to go and preach and teach and do miracles at that point. That would be ludicrous. Similarly, as you first come to the church and you first become a disciple, we're not expecting you to do grandiose things. We just want you with us to listen and to learn. And hopefully at some point, you'll become a flourishing disciple. So I hope that helps explain a little bit of what it is to be a disciple today. So one of the other threads that Dustin has been going through, and a couple weeks ago he talked about flowers and trees, and fruit trees. And in our spiritual formation, we can have both, and we need both. For instance, the flowers represent short-term but beautiful different spiritual formations through our spiritual disciplines, etc. Again, they're beautiful, but they're for a season. They're the ones that have to be continuously redone. Fruit trees, on the other hand, are things that we can work on to develop long-term. It may take years before a fruit tree can actually start bearing fruit. So those are items that we need to put out in front of us. It was interesting, I was listening to a video by Brian Russell today, and he was talking about planting fruit trees, and he made a statement I thought was pretty profound. So it would have been the best time to have done a fruit tree 30 years ago. The second best time, today. Maybe think about that for a little bit. So then last week, Dustin went into the parable that Christ was talking about where God is the gardener, he is the vine, and we are the branches. So Christ is the main part of the plant, and we are the branches that branch off. We're the ones that reach out and touch other people. That is our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The one way, though, that this, the connection, you got to have a connection between what Pastor Dustin was talking about with the fruit trees, with the flowers, with the vine, and what we're talking about being flourishing disciples. They all have to be flourishing. If we don't have flowers that are beautiful, the example doesn't work. If we don't have fruit trees that are bearing fruit, again, the example doesn't work. Everything that we're talking about has to be able to be flourishing. So how do we get to flourishing? How do plants get to flourishing? Well, there's several elements that they need. For a plant to become flourishing, it needs proper amount of water. It needs the proper amount of sunlight for the type of plant it is. And it needs a really good base or soil structure. Now, a really good soil is a mixture of several different things. It's a mixture of sand, silt, clay, and aggregates. And any one of those by itself will not make a good place for a plant to be flourishing. And what are those things in us for being a flourishing disciple? Those are the spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about for the last several months before we got into this situation. We're talking about worshiping. We're talking about Bible study, praying, community. All those are the structure to for our lives. That's the soil, the base that we come from. With the soil, as far as growing, if you think about the parable that Christ did with the seed on the ground, there's four different kinds of soil. There's one, of course, the seed gets into it and everything flourishes, it grows great. But there's three other kinds that don't do so well. There's one that the seed falls into and it grows up among the weeds. It's just not going to be flourishing. It's going to be choked out. There's another example. If it's just thrown on hard surface, if it's thrown on this table, for example, it's never going to grow. And there's a third example where there's a little bit of soil, but underneath it is bad soil. In those cases, the seed will flourish quickly. They may look good for a while until it gets a stress, until something happens out of the ordinary where it is being stressed out. It'll wither. It'll die. I had a couple examples of that this past week, this past Friday. As many of you know, my mother passed away recently, and we're remodeling her house to put it on the market. And along the one side of the house, she has an area where she's planted plants for years, and they just haven't done anything. So last Friday, I pulled them all out, and I moved the mulch back. I had some new plants to put in. It looked pretty good. It looked like there was good black soil. So I got up there, I took my shovel, and clunk. Uh-oh, that sounded like gravel. So I moved back some of the soil, and sure enough, there was foot of gravel underneath the topsoil. So in order to get those plants to flourish, I had to modify that soil. I had to take that soil out, put the plants in, then put back some of the topsoil around it. Then the very next day, I went over to Pastor Dustin's house. We've been working on putting some privacy screen around some plants around his pool. And we got over there. I volunteered to bring a sod cutter over and had some technical difficulties in the morning. And they had by hand moved about a quarter of it in about 3 hours probably. And I got the sod cutter over there, and we did the rest of it in about 15, 20 minutes. Now they were sorry they hadn't waited. But same thing happened. We got done, we flipped the sod over, and it looked like great topsoil on top. So we got it cleared out, and Eliana and Leslie grabbed some shovels, and clunk. Shovels wouldn't go anywhere. So we did move a little bit, and this is what we found. Again, right underneath the topsoil was hard clay. Again, you have to, at that point, you have to remove what's there, try to modify the soil, and make it a better place for the plants to flourish. So what does it take for you to flourish? Again, we talked about some of the spiritual disciplines to get you up and going. But there's another element that you often have to add that helps push it to the next level. It's fertilizers. What kind of fertilizer? For us, and this may sound a little bit weird, but we've all been through times in our life that haven't been great. We've had struggles. We've had people put us down. We've maybe had attitudes against people. We have situations that were just dark. They're not good situations. I met today or yesterday with a good friend of mine who's had some struggles in his life and some brokenness. But he shared with me that through those brokenness, those were things that through God he could share with others. So that became, all those things in his life were like Pastor Dustin talked about last week, like manure. They're just the bad stuff to work with, but when we use them in our life, when we use them through God for good, that can be the fertilizer to push ourselves into different areas where we can be flourishing, where we can help others through Christ to move on with their lives, to help them through their brokenness. So, again, this Brian Russell had a point that I wanted to share with you. He was talking about when you have those times, when you have those brokenness, what do you do with that? Do you push it back in your mind and you work harder, play harder, do things to just try to push it out of the way? Does it sit in the corner and kind of fester, ready to explode at other times? Or is it something that you can use through God? Take it to God, break it down, and make it something beautiful to share with other people. So that's my question for you today on this part of my message is, what do you do with your manure? So this whole part that I just rehashed came from what Pastor Dustin's been talking about through John 15. And we're going to continue on with this scripture. But I do want to remind you of what Dustin told us when he was sharing this with us last week. That basically, this is the last teaching that he's going to do with his disciples as human before the crucifixion, before he comes back during the resurrection. This is his last opportunity. He just got done with the Passover dinner where he flipped the switch on everybody and did what we now know as our communion. And probably have these disciples a little bit on their heels. They're not sure what is going on here. So we're going to continue moving forward with his message. This is from John 15, 9 through 14. And as you notice, a lot of times we highlight parts that we feel are important. This whole sentence is important. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Think about that just for a moment. A father and son, the love a father and son has, especially this father and son, part of the Trinity, the special connection there. Yet he's saying that he loves us in the same way his father has loved him. We all know about a father's love. If you've been a father and you have kids, you know about that unconditional love you have with your kids. But he continues. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. So again, there's that example of a father and a son. Son following all those things that his father wants us to do. And now Christ is saying, I will continue to love you. Just do those things I've commanded you to do. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command, and now he tells us what he expects of us. Love each other as I have loved you. Pretty straightforward. We know throughout his teachings, this has been his number one focus. This has been the way he expects out of us. Do you remember when he was challenged about, you know, the Ten Commandments and what was the most important? He boiled them down to basically love God and love your neighbors. So he's telling us here, this is his command. If you want to remain in love with me, remain with my love. Love each other as I have loved you. And boy, in this time that we're going through, that's probably pretty critical. There's a lot of unlove, a lot of unrest. We just need to remember to love our neighbors the way Christ loved us. Then he continues. There is greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So he just laid out what his future is going to be. He's about to lay down his life for us. And he's calling us his friends. At this point, Christ considers us his friends. That's pretty awesome. Then he repeats it. You are my friends if you do what I command. Again, his commandments are pretty simple. We should be able to follow them. Love each other as he has loved us. So to tie today up, I had kind of two parts to my message today. The first one was in trying to get everybody working towards becoming flourishing disciple. It took a little bit of the time to explain to you about what a disciple was, so hopefully there's a little bit of clarity there. We all know that as long as we continue to listen and learn and follow God, we are his disciples. And we need to build that up, become a flourishing disciple, so in turn we can build a flourishing church. And the second part of what I've had today for you is this awesome message from Christ. One of his last ones given before he left the earth for the first time. He wants to love us. He just has a simple order for us to follow. Follow his command. Love one another. How are we going to do that this week? How can we show our neighbors that we love them this week? That's your homework for today.